Can you guys hear me? Yeah? How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
I don't think I heard everybody. How's everybody doing this morning?
Yeah.
There we go. It is nice to be here. Hey, right there, buddy. Look, right there. There you go. Right there. Good job. This is good for him because as he gets older, he won't be afraid to be up here. There you go. So it's a privilege to be up here before my loving family. I just want to welcome all our guests here today. I'm the youth minister here at the Polder Church of Christ. My name is Manny. I've been looking forward to this message for a long time, even before I knew I was going to be preaching it today. It's been a busy January. At the beginning of January, I went to a youth minister's conference, and you know, I spent a week with other youth ministers and just getting a better understanding of my purpose with men who've been doing it for 36 years and other guys who've been doing it for lesser, just bouncing ideas on and off. But before I went to Colorado, there was something that was on my heart. And I thought, you know, it'd be a cool idea to preach on and whatnot. And I get to Colorado, and it's staring me right in the face. This message is staring me right in the face. After Colorado, it's staring me. I hear it on the radio. It needs to be spoken. And I'm not afraid to speak my testimony. I am not afraid to tell people how good God has been for me. See, during Colorado, we spend a week there talking about the youth and the younger generation. See, last year, we find out that there's 1.8 million young children, young adults who leave their congregations. This year, the main focus is how are we going to get these young individuals back in church? How can we get them to serve in their churches? But see, it's not just for this generation that's coming up. It's for all generations. Because in each generation, there is a group of people who aren't coming to church. I bet you could look to the side, you see an empty seat, you're probably thinking that one person I passed by could be here today. You know, you look back there and there's empty seats. I know a few people who can fill those seats. I need to get them in here, right? You know, we learned that the Hispanic community, there's a language barrier there. But you know, it goes deeper than a language barrier. Young people, young adults, these communities out there, you know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of coming to a church that's not sincere, that's not transparent. A church that comes and acts one way, but then when they leave the building, they act another way. Church, we need to be transparent. We need to stop letting our political views be what people see. We need to stop letting our trials be what people see. What we need to start being is the light of this world. So I'm telling you, if God's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
I don't think that was everybody. If God has been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
If you need God, say amen. Okay? Why aren't we expressing that more? What is the fear that's keeping people from allowing themselves to be transparent? Is it the time that we have here on a Sunday morning or Wednesday? Because I'm pretty sure there's 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, right? Anybody want to do the math of how much time we give God? That's the truth. That is a hard truth that we need to understand. We cannot settle on just giving him an hour, 45 minutes, 15 minutes, every day, all day. Is that difficult? It sure is, right? It is. I'm not going to lie to you. It's difficult. You're going to hear my testimony in this. I need to be reminded of how good God is and has been in my life. So how do you feel when someone asks you to tell your testimony? I bet a majority of us panic, right? Some of us become anxious at the possibility of coming up here and being vulnerable. You know, your heart's racing. My heart's racing right now because I'm trying to keep myself calm. But this has been sitting on my heart. And I want to encourage, I want to comfort, I want to strengthen. I want to remind everyone here that after today, go home. Tell others how good the Lord has been for you and how he had mercy on you. So after Colorado, after listening to all this, I wanted to come home and tell how God has been good. See, Christians have developed a fear of sharing their testimonies in front of others because they picture themselves center stage, like Rendell said, in the spotlight. In the spotlight. Illuminated by this bright light, standing in front of many seats filled with people with many eyes. Okay? They're all focused on me. We fear that others are going to judge our lives, or we fall to the other extreme, and my testimony is just not powerful enough, so we don't speak it. God's not that simple. God's been through every single thing that you've been through. He's going through it with you right now, big or small. So what does the word really mean? According to Webster's Dictionary, the two simplest definitions of testimony is a proof or evidence that something exists or is true. And then also a formal written or spoken statement, especially one given in a law of court. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Who here has a defense in that hope they believe in? Anyone? Who here has a defense? Acts 4:20. So they called him and charged him not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19 says, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. No one can take away your truth. No one can take away your testimony and what you've witnessed. You see how all that goes? You want to be a witness for Christ. Why would you be a witness for Christ? Because you have to defend this faith that you believe in. Because who's trying to get at you? Satan's trying to get at you. He's out there. It's all pretty. It's all good when we're in here. What happens when we step out of this building? Where's that Sunday morning feeling when you step out of the building? As witnesses of Christ, our testimony speaks of God's existence when the world tries to disprove his existence. It's not other Christians trying to tell you God's not real. It's not. We get into too many battles with other Christians and about God. No, we just have different theology. We have different beliefs. We believe in God. It's the world. It's the world that's coming for us. The world is pulling our kids out of church. They're making things pretty, entertaining. The world out there is real. They're being themselves. Why can't we be ourselves? We need to be ourselves. I got this suit on. Don't mean I don't got no problems. I've just gotten really good at making it look like I don't. But I tell you right now, I've got a lot of problems. I've been through a lot of things. I've been through a lot of things. See, this word that Christians use coincides with the ideas in these definitions. The idea of testimony can be seen throughout the Bible, which brings us to Mark 5:19. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Now, this is the man who is filled with the legion of demons in him. Okay? You see that first part of that verse? He did not permit him to go with them. See, he restored him, but he didn't take him along with him. He has a purpose for him to go home and tell others about what the Lord has done for you. Who here has a testimony? Who here has something to take home and give God the glory? See, Jesus tells this man possessed by the legion of demons to go home and tell others about Jesus and how he drove out the demons and restored him. See, we read about David. David messed up a lot, didn't he? See, he proclaimed God's faithfulness, his majesty and righteousness throughout the Psalms, including in praise. And I got to say it again, he messed up a lot. See, some Christians often believe testimony only refers to the first time you have that come to Jesus moment. You know, that one moment or the moment they were saved. But God is bigger than that because he's there and faithful through it all. It's just that we at times forget to acknowledge him. Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. And what does light do? It reveals what's in the dark. Can I be real with you? Yeah? How often are we posting on social media about how good things are, how good our day is, how good our dinner is, right? See, it's not about us. It is not about us. We need to stop thinking that the spotlight is on us. It's not yours, it's God's. Okay? Charles Spurgeon, he's quoted as saying, "The Bible isn't the light of the world. It's the light of the church. The world isn't reading the Bible. It's reading Christians. We are the light of the world. What people out there are thinking about the church is based on what they've read through the actions and behaviors of its Christians." That's a hard truth. That right there can cause an argument, but it's the truth. You get guests in here and they look around, you got somebody in their nose in a book or they're nodding off, they're on their phone, they're on social media, here in the church while the worship is going. What do you think that person is thinking? Oh, it don't matter what they think. What do you think happens to their belief, their encouragement? Do you think that becomes a stumbling block for somebody? Yeah, if I came into this congregation and wasn't encouraged the way I was encouraged, I would hate to think where I would have been. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Oops, sorry. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works." And finish that sentence for me. It doesn't say that they can see your good works and glorify you. That they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The spotlight's not on you. Brothers, when I know it's scary when we ask you to come over here and serve. The spotlight's not about you. We're giving God glory. What other time during the week are we giving God this much glory? That's where the struggle is. I want to be a light for God. My life has changed since coming to Christ in 2011. See, my first 31 years, I'll be 43 on Tuesday. So my first 31 years of living on this earth, I had no experience with spiritual growth. I had no idea of the way God was working in my life. And I was living a life that truly, truly was in darkness and would eventually have led to death. See, instead of a testimony, I would have had excuses. See, I didn't know Jesus. All I knew was trial and shame. See, many people tell me how encouraged they are with how on fire I am for God, but I'm not taking that credit. It's all God. See, born in the Bronx, New York, the eldest of three kids, addiction and abuse was rampant in my family. My dad died when I was 10. He died of AIDS. I became a statistic. I became a statistic because that was the story that everybody was talking about during that time. After my dad died, my mom remarried, and 3 more kids were added to the house. And of course, being the eldest, I would be the one who would go without a meal. I would be the one in our apartment building, 8 floors, probably 70 apartments. I would go through as much as I could, try to ask for spare change so my mom could go to the store and buy some stuff. Seventh grade dropout, bullied and neglected for being poor, and just angry all the time. And this is all before I was old enough to be, even be in the youth group. Betrayed by my family and friends, and at one point left homeless and abandoned, depending only on myself. The world told me that those were reasonable excuses to live the way I was living as a young adult. And as I was getting older, things didn't change. See, I'm not glorifying my struggle. I'm not patting my back for surviving. And even though it could have been worse, it's my story, my testimony. I was a witness to all of that. And no one can take it away. Because in all of that, I see God was there. My testimony goes all the way back to my childhood. So while the past hasn't changed, God has changed me regardless of what I've been through. Glory to God forever. He's changed me. We fast forward over the past several years, and I'm a different person looking through a set of eyes that were once blind. Not only do I engage in spiritual disciplines like Bible study and prayer, but I get out of God's way as He builds this environment around me where I can encourage and lead others to Christ, using the gifts that He gave me to serve His purpose. James 2:17 says, "My faith requires action. Go and tell. Go and tell." The main reason I've tried to have my hand in every spiritual cookie jar is because I don't want to get comfortable in my faith. I don't want to grow complacent. I'm fully aware of where I can be if I'm not busy. And it's not a good place. So I try to stay busy, and I try to stay busy for God. Testimonies show the way we live now compared to our previous circumstances. We speak about God's power, His redeeming grace, and our new identity in Christ simply through our actions and the choices that we make. It is the testimony of God's grace when we forgive those who have sinned against us or avoid the many temptations that we struggle with. When we come together as a church after a rough week or just a bad morning, it's our fellowship, it's our conversations, it's our comfort, it's our strength, the joy we have each other that reminds us of the hope that we hold on to. We encourage other in their faith, and that's why it's important for Christians to share their testimony. Even if you're a new Christian, you have a testimony. There's no testimony too big or small for our big God. You praise Him with it. Some of us are going through similar things. Let's pray for each other. Or let's go out there in our newness and start serving those who are struggling. Anybody here having issues with their kids? Anybody here with me? Anybody here with me? Anybody here having financial problems? Can anybody here agree that things are just a bit too high? Who here is afraid of tomorrow? Tomorrow's potential weather, right? But we're here together reminding each other, God is good. God is going to be there. God is going to provide. See, me, Steve, Kevin, Paul, we can only say so much on Sunday and Wednesday to help. We don't have enough time. I wish I could spend all my time helping somebody, but I can't. But you, church, you can. Instead of 2 men, 4 men, we have a whole congregation that has a sermon on their heart. It's called What the Lord Has Done in Me. You all have one of those. You all have a sermon to preach. And it might not be 30, it might not be 45, not 15. Right? Is that the average? Yeah. Right? I hope you brought a sack lunch, I'm telling you right now. But each of you have a song to sing. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. We have these gifts to serve God, and you can't tell me that God can't use you for something, because I'm a witness to his power and his purpose to draw souls to him so that none may perish. So you might be asking yourself one or more of these questions. Why should this apply to me? I teach Bible class, I watch the babies, I fix things here and there, I make my weekly attendance, I put into the collection plate, or preacher, why is this important? Or how about this one? God knows my heart. Shouldn't the church see it? I have my gifts. Why should I learn others? Am I going to be judged? See, we tend to pack God in a box and make it this simple faith, but it's not. The life we're called to requires us to rid ourselves of pride and fears, to look at each other with love and understanding, to seek to better ourselves and each other so that we can serve God's kingdom and pursue his purpose together. See, I'm not going to be able to get you into heaven, but I want to try and help you keep you on that path. I want to help you the same way you've helped me. So today I want to look into the importance of testimony and the impact that we make as witnesses for Jesus Christ. So first, testimony gives God glory. Psalm 71, 15 through 8. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, any gray-headed here? I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Okay. Oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. See, we're not sensationalizing the trials and sins that we've battled. We're glorifying God in rescuing us from them. Our testimony brings to light how God has made you more than a conqueror in the dark. You give him credit and praise in telling others what he has done and is doing in your life. This relationship we have with Christ is personal. It was never meant to be private. This faith, this Christianity, this new life you have, it's personal, but it was never meant to be kept private. The Bible wouldn't say, go out and proclaim, if he wanted you to keep it private. Go out and keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody about this Jesus who heals. No way. No way. What are we so afraid of? That people are going to judge us or look at us? We're going to look weird? We're supposed to look weird. We're supposed to look set apart from the world. Why are you so happy? You're going through this. I got a good God. You just had family who passed away. Why are you here? Because you serve a good God. Your mom had to step at a testimony. Weta had a testimony. We all have a testimony. Giving God the glory is sometimes requires an audience. Shout out your rescue story. Make known to all the world of this saving grace that you believe in. Let this victory in your life be the reason you raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies. Let what Christ has done for you and is doing for you be the reason that you sing these songs that we sing here. You know, when me, Austin, and Brody, when we're up here leading and we tell you to sing out, I bet you think we want you to sing louder, right? Sing louder. Sing louder. No, sing with your heart. Almost all these songs are a testimony. Someone wrote these songs. It is well with my soul. Is that not a testimony? So why do we hold back in our worship? Why? Sing out. Sing with your heart. Sing the victory. Sing the pain. Sing out your testimony. See, much like bragging about our favorite sports team winning or a successful hunt or maybe a great deal at the mall, if what Jesus has done for you or is doing in your life is worth talking about, singing about, don't you think we need to let it out? Don't you think? You are a witness to God's work. Acts 5:32, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as Prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Who's obeying God today? Who's obeying God today? You are a witness to what God has done in your life. You have seen God's presence in someone else's life too, I bet. Someone's been an encouragement to you somewhere. We've got these pews here that are empty that were once filled with encouraging, loving people, right? I bet you a lot of them, they were open. I know Weta was. I know she was. I know Liz was too. I know Jerry was. Open, sincere, honest, not afraid of the judgment because he knew how good God was. God didn't remember anything. We tend to do that. We do that to ourselves. Anyone here watch any good football games lately? Or about to? Anybody here? Anybody here, football fans, college fans? I guarantee you there's a whole bunch of you over here. Always fussing and fighting about who's better, right? You know, the Super Bowl's coming up. There's going to be a lot of bragging rights for some people. But it has to do with the talent and athleticism of their favorite team over their opponent. So in the same way, our testimony is bragging about our good God. Doesn't anybody here want to brag about our good God? Right? Doesn't God brag about you when you come up that water? Yeah. He bragged about his son. When we get there, we want to hear those words. My good and faithful servant, he wants to brag about you. So, you know, there's several moments in our lives that he's rescued us from something that we thought we probably wouldn't have escaped. And he didn't do it once. He did it over and over and over, and he's probably doing it still for some of y'all, right? And he's probably doing it to some of y'all, and you're probably not seeing it because you're too burdened, so you're not seeing him working. We need to remind each other of that because some folks are like that. There's some people here who need that reminder. Your testimony shows people that God is in the business of doing it over and over again. If you're reading your Bible, you'll see for yourself that he's been on a rescue mission since the beginning of time. Not just for you, but for anyone who else is willing to follow him. And I tell you now, those victory stories just aren't for us. Our God, through the rescue mission, gives hope to those who hear it, encouraging them to continue to seek and draw closer to God. And I get it. Some of you may not be seeing him. I get it. But I've been there. He's working. Sometimes you got to get out of your own way. You got to make those changes to see God clearly. He's much louder than the noise in your circumstances. See, testimony verbalizes the love of God. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. It's not uncommon for us to view God with fear. Many struggle with the idea of a God who doesn't take kindly to disobedience. I grew up learning that God would have sent me to hell had not I been baptized as an infant. And that was it. That was my understanding. And that's how I lived my life for a long time, and that is until I was introduced to Jesus Christ. And then I started to really see that God is for me and that he was for me and he loves me. So no longer do I see God as wrathful, but the pure definition of love. Who can stand against us when he's for us? When we hold on to his relentless pursuit of us, we can then truly realize that all he's done and all he does is for our good. And it's our love for God that speaks through our lips when we share where he's taken us from. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Through our testimonies, we tell the world that God loves us. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us. He defeated death so we could have the opportunity to live again. Through Jesus, we are reconciled to the love of God. When we make that decision to be baptized into Christ, we begin to better understand how deep and wide his love is for us, and we see his power working through us. Romans 8, 37, 39, but in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No sickness, no death, no alcoholism, no abuse, nothing will separate you from God's love. Speak it. Go and tell. Our stories, our wars, victories illustrate the loving relationship that we have with our Father, our God, in hopes that we encourage others to desire a relationship with him too. Here's one that's going to be for everybody. Your transparency promotes unity. Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then are they to call him in whom hate they have not seen? How are they to believe in him who they have not heard? How are they to hear without a preacher? But how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Has God done some good things for you? Preach it. Preach it. That's how I got up here. I mean, I got a little push. I did. But I had something, I had a good thing to talk about. I had a good rescue story. And as I open my eyes and get closer to God, I see that there's more to that story. There is. Yeah, I know the invitation song can be a bit frightening. The spotlight is fixing the shine on someone who needs prayers or a savior. Maybe you're scared to give God his credit and victory, but you don't want to put yourself on the pedestal. Sometimes that's what it sounds like. Here's my testimony, and the person listening to it is putting you on that pedestal. No, God gets all that glory. So what if I told you that you didn't have to wait till the moment in service to do that? I told my kids this in class. It's like, yes, we have an invitation after the sermon. God's invitation is always open. I mean, you can call me at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. You could call Steve at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. What I'm saying is, if you need God, if you need prayer, the invitation's always open. I don't usually send any of those church texts to Deidre out past 10 o'clock. But I get those text messages in the middle of the night. And I'm ready to send it out. I've made myself available. That's what I want to be. I want to be available for whatever God calls me to. See, maybe you're scared to give God that credit because maybe you think you had some part in it, but you didn't. You didn't. You got to let that go because if you have that mentality, it's just going to continue to happen. You're going to keep putting yourself in the dark. What if I told you that you didn't have to wait to the moment in service to do it because God's invitation is always open? You just need to remove yourself from the spotlight. You do. God has already seen the worst parts of you and loves you regardless. Yeah. There's nothing that mere mortals can say or do to take that away. You have something on your heart. You need to say it in front of the congregation. Do it. somebody out there judging, pray for them because they're the ones that are going to need it. And I will fight tooth and nail for my students. My students come up here, my boys, they come up here with fear in their heart, but they'll still do it. No one's ever going to say anything to those boys. Mm-mm. That's a reason to celebrate God. There's a spiritual war going on. So why do we want to fight it alone? Don't you think the devil has planned to lead you away from the flock so he can devour you, pounce on you, use you, and then leave you completely by yourself afterwards? Leave you in the same state that you thought you were in without God? Why don't we fight this war together? See, unlike a foot race, you know what about foot races, right? We can run our victory lap already. Jesus won it for us. We're just finishing this race. Anybody here ever run a race so fast that you were lapping people? No, probably not. Maybe. All right. So did you know you can celebrate your victory with Christ? You can celebrate your relationship with Christ. I don't know if we know. Do we know that? You can celebrate your relationship with Christ. I do. I'm not afraid. I'll do it in Walmart. That's the best place to do it, I tell you that. There's something else. There's no other feeling when you're just singing some song that you sang at church and some random customers are joining in. Like, that's what I needed. Because that's probably what they needed. You know? I'm not afraid. You tell me my voice ain't as good as Brody's, but I'm going to sing anyways. Not today. But we need to celebrate that. You might not need the encouragement, but I can tell you right now that there are children and young adults here who need to see that. These young adults that are coming up, I'm sorry to say, but they're looking like the old folk that are getting older. These young folk need to, you're in your 20s. You look like you're old. Express it. Express the relationship, this victory that we have. Tomorrow ain't promised. When are you going to do it? If you're not doing it here, what are the chances that you're doing it out there? I'm that honest with our children. If you're not doing some of those things here where it's encouraged and you're comforted and you're strengthened and people are going to be proud of you, what are the chances that you're doing it out there to perfect strangers? Strangers that are definitely going to judge you, mock you, right? These bodies are getting tired and old, but this joy runs deep. You older folks, our young people need to see this joy that we keep talking about. We talk about it. It's deep, deep down in my heart, right? We need to show it. These young folk need to see it. This new generation that's coming up needs to see it. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. What if your struggle had a purpose? God doesn't want you to forget. It's our constant reminder. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. What you're going through now has a purpose. Do we want to be more conscious of God in our lives? Then don't forget where he's brought you from yesterday. You want to see God today, remember where he brought you from yesterday. Every Sunday we partake in the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Christ did for us on the cross. What he did on the cross that we deserved. We can never forget that because we would have never have gotten out of the dark. Through our struggles, we become a little stronger, a little more confident in ourselves, but more importantly in God. You've heard the expression, knocked down, but never out. But who gets the credit? Like Steve said a few weeks ago, sometimes we need to remember our past to prepare our future. You shouldn't be too quick to forget about your past struggles, since in those times is where God was more apparent. You just didn't see him. I need to be reminded of how awesome he is, was, and ever will be. I'm looking forward to forgetting all that negativity when I get to heaven. I'm not going to remember that when I get to heaven, and I'm so glad about that. Our testimony is a valuable asset in the spiritual battle we're all in. And we can celebrate because he's won the war for us. And lastly, it's your sermon. It's your sermon. John 9:25. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be a Bible major. You don't need to be an influencer. You don't need to be anybody important to share your testimony. Jesus has given sight to a blind man, and the Pharisees tried to discredit him. But he had a testimony. He was a witness. All he ever knew was that he was blind. And Jesus comes along, and now he sees. You can't take that away from him. There's nothing that you're going through that anybody can take away, because God is working. God is pulling you out of that. When did he do this? He did this on a Sabbath day where he wasn't supposed to do anything. He was a witness to that. They tried every trick in the book to try and discredit the miracles that Jesus performed. However, no one could deny what was so obvious. He was blind and now he sees. Family, no one can argue about your experience. Your own testimony is enough for you to see, believe, and worship God. Worship God. Let your heart pour out. It might just be enough for someone. So now, as I get started with my sermon, as I begin to close, for many of us, it seems like we've been put through the ringer, that life might not have been fair to us. But consider what Christ was willing to go through so we could be here to complain about it. We can only imagine where we would have been headed had it not been the Lord who is standing by our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Those moments where we thought we could die or fall away, and here comes Jesus to save us from ourselves. Those are victories that unbelievers need to hear so they too can come to a better understanding of this faith in a God who sent his one and only Son to die on a cruel cross for the sins that we've committed. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. God gets all the glory, all the credit. When we remove ourselves from these victories, people can truly see a God who can do for them what he did for us. What God did for me changed my life. So I believe it's worth talking about. My testimony is the unveiling of who God calls me to be. Me speaking of the good and bad time expresses where God is in my life now. And in speaking it before man, it allows it to exist in its fullness. I am not afraid to talk about what God has done for me, because I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Are we so ashamed of who we were that we don't think God can reach us? Because he's a pretty big God. He may just surprise you. Who here is in need? I know of a God who will give you what you need. Who here needs prayer? I know of a God who listens to every prayer, no matter how quietly they're spoken. My God mended my broken heart, a heart that I didn't feel like I needed love. He's healing every wound that I thought ran too deep in my soul. He has given me a purpose, and he's put me to work. He loves to listen to me pray. He loves to listen to me sing. There are no tears he can't wipe away. He sees you even when you don't think anyone else can. He's known you before you were formed. He's here with you every second of every day. He is relentless. He does not tire. He does not grow weak. He's strong enough for all of us. I didn't think I could ever be loved or forgiven for the things that I've done in my life. But he allowed his son to die on a cross meant for me. And how do I know this? Because I once was lost, and now I'm found. I once was blind, and now I see. He's taken me from a very dark place, and he's brought me into his light. I have a maker, and he knows my name. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. How do I know? Because I have a testimony. So here now is the opportunity to start your new life. You know what the best part of my testimony is? Was that baptism? Because that right there is when I knew I was fully, fully in God's grace. When I came up out of that water, I knew I was fully loved. I knew it. Your story now may be filled with sin and shame, hurt, hate, fear, and sorrow. But it doesn't matter how your story started because you've been living it blind. Open your eyes so you can see that our God is the author of life and that he brings to life what you thought was dying. My God, through his son Jesus Christ, is calling you to come to him, to let his love overwhelm you. Tomorrow's not promised. Stop waiting on that perfect moment because perfection only came once and he died on a cross. Be done with the fear and shame of yesterday and rid yourself of these dirty garments and be washed in the watery grave of baptism. Stop letting confusion keep you from being raised up a new creation. Stop letting what you once learned or you once heard keep you from baptism. Stop letting excuses stand in your way. Stop letting your family members, stop letting your spouse, you know the truth, come to the truth. Stop thinking that the space from where you're sitting to this baptistry is a walk of shame because that's a walk of redemption. Just stop listening to the noise and come to Jesus. Then go tell the world of this amazing grace that you've heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized, that you came up a new creation and you joined a family that will constantly remind you of a God who's always loved you and always will. If you have a need, something only God can tend to, this is your time.